Proudly presented by Paul Everett's RV Country. This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, marking Father's Day weekend with a couple World War II veterans today. I think the record among the 400-plus episodes of this show is 14 kids, and I'm looking forward to seeing that wounded Marine and the youngest of his 14 children in this week ahead in Sacramento at a special ceremony at the California State Capitol. We're going to hear from a father of 8 from New Mexico in just a little bit, but for now, back to Mel Pliner of Las Vegas, Nevada, who told us about his missions as a glider pilot during World War II. After the war, he ended up in New Mexico, where he worked for Sandia Laboratories for many years. He'll never stop enjoying his talent for woodworking, and his storytelling skills are pretty solid, too.
So I read that you got to be at Normandy for the 65th anniversary?
Yes.
What was that like?
That was fantastic. The guy that wrote the book,
right?
Philippe Espelin.
Forgotten Wings is the book, yeah. And you're on the cover of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He and I got to be quite good friends. After the war, the little town of Lamoille is where his parents lived. And as he grew up, his parents told him about the gliders that came in and landed and so forth. And he became interested. And as he grew up into a young man, he became interested in the glider program and pursued it. He became active in the World War II Glider Pilots Association. He got a membership, and he attended all of our reunions.
Because it was the gliders that started
about the
liberation process of his town.
And he got to talk to more glider pilots and get stories from them, just like my story.
Right.
That's part of the book.
Right.
And we got to be such good friends. I gave him all my Class A uniform. I gave him my ID badge. I gave him my A2 jacket. I gave him everything because I didn't think my kids would be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He took my picture, and it's on the front of the magazine. Look.
And that was the gateway to you going to Normandy?
Well, yes. We kept in touch. He made arrangements. We flew into Paris, and he picked us up, took us down to St. Mary Glise, and I was the only glider pilot there. And when people saw me in my outfit, oh, we want to take your picture. Oh, would you sign your autograph? Free entrance to any of the museums, and they had a CG-4A, and they had a Horsa glider there, and all kinds of trucks, stuff like that there. Yeah.
And the President of the United States and the President of France and probably a whole bunch of other bigwigs.
I got to shake hands with Barack Obama.
Did that make you feel like what you and all those other guys did meant something, accomplished something?
Well, you know, I never felt myself as a hero. I felt I was trained to do a job, and that's what I did. I look at it this way. The reason that I survive is two things, my training and the man upstairs. I felt confident that, you know, once we took off, I could find a field I could land, which I did.
Even if it was a vineyard that took the bottom off your glider. What about this honor flight? I mean, that's your most recent adventure. You're almost 95 years old.
That was an interesting trip of a lifetime. It was. I can't say how much I enjoyed that or the people. Well, the woman that was in charge and the people that we traveled with. And when we came back from the honor flight, there were, I don't know, thousands of people lining the exit, holding their hands out, shake your hands.
How'd that make you feel?
Oh, that tall. That tall.
At the World War II Memorial, where they have that big wall of gold stars, and you know what it represents.
Yeah.
406,000. And you had a couple chances where that could have been you.
Yeah, that's right.
What did you think about when you were looking at that next to a daughter who wouldn't be here if you didn't survive?
That's right. Well, you know, I think to myself, if it hadn't been for training and men upset, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us some of your stories. I never know which way you're going to go, but it was entertaining.
It was a job that I was trained to do. And that's what I did.
And what more could we ask, really? That's Mel Pliner. And in honor of Father's Day, why not hear a few thoughts from the youngest of his three children, Carol?
When did you realize the adventures your dad had had in the war?
I think the first time was when he was coming to Las Vegas for one of their reunions.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I didn't really understand. I didn't know the depth or the intensity or the... I really didn't know what he had done. I didn't know that he had been a glider pilot. I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. So you've been on quite a journey of enlightenment about his life.
Yes, I have.
At what point did it hit you that, man...
He's a hero.
And I wouldn't be here if he didn't survive some crazy stuff.
Exactly. Yes. I'm very, very cognizant of that fact. Unfortunately, I missed out on my childhood with him because they did split when I was only 8. But now I'm making up time for that. And he's definitely my hero. But I got to tell you, he can make or fix anything. And he is so safety conscious. I mean, all these years he's got a full woodworking and a full metalworking shop.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all 10 digits. I'm like, that is, you know, because I've seen a lot of men who accidentally hack their fingers off, and
sure.
Not him. He's very safety conscious, very good common sense. Just, I mean, he's pretty amazing.
What part of his story gets you the most or amazes you the most with regard to the war and the missions he flew?
Yeah. The first one is the fact that those planes didn't have much control except for the steering and the altitude, which you could go up, but mainly you were going to go down.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, the landing conditions weren't always the best. They left
the least.
A lot to be desired, right. You know, you didn't have a smooth runway with lights and somebody telling you which way to go and whatever. But yeah, that and the fact that he did take a bullet and still managed to land that glider the way he did. It's like, that's just amazing to me.
And like I said, if he didn't, you wouldn't be here.
That's correct.
And you got to go on the honor flight with him.
Yes, I went as his guardian. And
I bet you had your hands full as his guardian.
Well, I'm his guardian all the time with him when he's with me, but yeah. No, because I know how he likes things, and, you know, I always try to anticipate what he's going to need or want.
What was the highlight of the trip for you?
Well, it scared me a little bit, but we had police escort everywhere we went, and they were stopping traffic and taking us through red lights and, you know, telling people to move over because people see a flashing light behind them. They don't necessarily know what the right thing to do. And so I was like, oh, God, please don't cause an accident just because of these vets are on this bus, you know.
Right.
But that was pretty awesome. That was impressive that they treat them like the true heroes that they are. And the other thing was, when we came back, my friend Nina had told me about, you know, oh, when they get back, there's this huge welcome thing. But I mean, we must have been at the airport for about an hour and a half after we landed, just, you know, everybody thanking him and all they had signs. I've got a bulletin board out that I made up. They got mail call on the way back, and everybody got an envelope with cards and whatnot. So they did get their heroes welcome home, even if it was a few years after the fact. But that was very moving. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. He's definitely my hero.
And as we celebrate Father's Day, what father wouldn't want to hear those words? Thanks to Carol Eastberg and her dad, Mel Pliner, not to mention Belinda Morse with Honor Flight Southern Nevada, she connected me to that father-daughter duo. You'll see their smiling faces at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And you'll also find some photos of Martin Martinez of Velarde, New Mexico. If you ever find yourself on the road between Santa Fe and Taos, you're going to have to stop in the tiny hamlet of Velarde. Only a few hundred people live there, but thousands stop through there at Michael's Mini Mart in Velarde, featuring Your Favorites by Alice. That's the official name for a big menu of pretty amazing New Mexican food. It's even earned rave reviews as part of New Mexico's Green Chili Cheeseburger Trail. But Alice would have never been born if her father didn't make it home from World War II. And you'll find him right behind that Mini Mart. You can't miss his trailer because it's the one with the flourishing garden of peppers and watermelon and whatever else is in season. And it's also the one marked with a flagpole secured in concrete and lit up so the stars and stripes and the U.S. Air Force flag can fly proudly day or night. I got to meet 3 generations of the Martinez family there, and it was so evident how revered Martin Martinez is and how special a Father's Day he's going to have this year. He was born in the nearby logging camp of La Madera, but moved to Velarde at the age of 5. His childhood jobs included threshing wheat on horseback His love of horses has never faded. He rode with the Rio Arriba County Sheriff's Posse until he was pushing 80, and he proudly wears a custom silver belt buckle preserving the brand his horses once displayed. Martin lost his father when he was just 16, and a year later he signed up for the Civilian Conservation Corps, which was launching camps all over New Mexico. Before long, his culinary skills had turned a few heads.
I took over the kitchen. Captain come there one day, Martin, you had to take over because I knew everything already, what went on there. I make my own menus, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you were just a teenager, but this was a pretty big project. And if folks go there today, if they go to the Bandelier National Monument, they can see some of the buildings that those CCC workers were constructing.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, that lodge there would actually be used to house workers for the Manhattan Project, which a few years later would help bring an end to World War II.
Yeah.
So little did you know that you were contributing to that with your work there. Well, at Bandelier.
When we got there, there was nothing there.
You were in the CCCs for nearly 2 years working on that. Did you have any idea that war was coming?
No, because I didn't know anything about war until Arthur McCarthy started pulling some kids from there for his army. 50 kids went volunteered to join. I figured that it was going to be a war then.
So you're talking about the folks from New Mexico who ended up in the Coast Artillery, and a lot of them ended up on the Bataan Death March.
Yeah.
Right. But did you hear about that at the time? Were you thinking about it?
No, I don't think so, but I guess these guys want to get something different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that volunteered, and I heard they were with Anthony McCarthy up in Philippine Island somewhere.
Yeah, you know. Bataan and Corregidor. There were more Americans from New Mexico on the Bataan Death March than any other state.
Yeah.
There are some great monuments to that
here
in the Land of Enchantment. But for you, you get done with the CCCs, and then a few months later, Pearl Harbor happens. How did you find out about that? Where were you when you heard that the Japanese had attacked Hawaii?
I think I was still home, December the 7th. And I came and told my mom, they bombed Pearl Harbor. I heard it around 10 o'clock at night on the radio. And then later on, Roosevelt declared war with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they declared war with Germany, you know, at that time. So there was that drafting. And I went over, I says, Mr. Luna, I want to register too. He says, Martin, you're not old enough. I got a job for you here in the farm. She said, no. I said, no, I don't want to work here. I want to go, I said.
So you could have had a deferment for agricultural reasons because the food supply needs people to grow things that they were growing. And he was saying, you don't need to go anywhere. Stay here on the farm and help me out.
Yeah, but I want to go, you know.
Why did you want to go? Why was that so important?
The idea that I just want to get out of here, you know, and see after my mother and kids, you know, my sisters. So finally he says, okay, if you want to go, okay. And they send me to Fort Bliss, Texas. From Fort Bliss, Texas, they sent me to a new camp in Camp Carson, Colorado, you know.
So you're there training in Colorado Springs with what would become the 89th Infantry Division, and you're expecting you're going to go overseas in the infantry?
Yeah, because that company was training to go to Italy, but at that time they approved my transfer.
Was that your idea? You wanted to get into the Army Air Corps?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, I just want to fly, I guess.
Had you ever flown before?
I've never flied before.
You'd never been in an airplane. No. But you said, I don't want this stuff on the ground. I want to be up in the air somewhere.
Yeah, so they sent me to Alamogordo to join the 466 bomb group, you know. We boarded the troop train to New York for 5 days. We boarded the Queen Mary across the Atlantic for about 5 or 6 days, you know. That was a rough deal.
Had you ever been on a ship before?
No. Never.
And I bet there were a lot more people on that ship than there were in Velarde, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
I want to take you back a little bit. When you decided, hey, I want to be in the Air Corps, I want to fly, have you ever, in all the years since, have you ever thought, what if you had stayed in the infantry? Do you think we'd be sitting here having this conversation?
I don't think so, because after the war, kid that came back, he says that company almost killed everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kid that came back after the war, I talked to him, says he was rough, Martin. They almost wiped the whole division in Italy, you know. I was pretty sure that I was going to be killed.
So it's a good thing that you made that switch.
Oh, yeah. Just a lucky person again, you know.
Well, and all your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids
yeah.
are probably pretty thankful for that.
Yeah.
And I know I'm bouncing around a little bit here, but so when you went across on the Queen Mary, first time you've ever been on a ship, it's got several times as many people as you grew up with here in Velarde, New Mexico. What was that like? Was that a whole new world for you? And how did you handle the rough seas?
We hit the storm pretty bad.
Yeah?
I got seasick the first day. Pretty bad. But I had oranges and cookies in my backpack. And one day I said, I think I eat the orange. So. And I eat the pills and all, no. And that took my seasick out of me. No, we hit another big storm. And that boat goes down like this, up, up, the side, mm-hmm. all over. It didn't bother me anymore. I woke. And I was woken up one sunny day. They let us go up. I heard somebody say, hey, Windy. That was Nick, my sister Jim. I said, somebody that knows me. He was a guy from Peñasco. He got killed over there. He was with the infantry division. Because I was the only Spanish that was in the group because I was transferred from infantry to the Air Force.
Right.
Then I met new people, all new people. I didn't know anybody. So I made friends there.
There's a few questions that are coming to my mind here, and I know we're, like I said, we're going all over the place. But one, you ate the orange peel?
The peel's an orange.
And the peel helped you combat seasickness?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I bet you could start a whole viral sensation on the internet telling people to eat orange peel for seasickness.
Yeah, I had orange in my backpack and cookies before.
Where'd the cookies come from?
From the kitchen. Because the kitchen was open 24 hours a day. You can go there and eat T-bone steak, all kind of food, all kind of vegetable, fruit, like a buffet.
I bet it wasn't as good as Alice's tacos at Michael's Mini Mart in Velarde, though.
No.
That would be a pretty tall order, although Mr. Martinez would help in the kitchen a bit once he got to England. 12,000 American troops were crammed onto the Queen Mary, a ship whose peacetime capacity was a little more than 3,200. You might not know that Hitler actually had a huge bounty waiting for any U-boat captain that could sink that very fast for its day ocean liner. Thankfully, that never happened, and Mr. Martinez actually got to climb aboard the ship many decades later in Long Beach with his granddaughter, Mikelin, who ended up with 2 degrees from USC. While many of those infantrymen packed aboard the Queen Mary would end up charging the beaches at Normandy 3 months later, Martine ended up as part of the ground echelon at Attlebridge Airfield in England, where the 466th Bomb Group would complete 232 missions over the next 14 months. And early on there, your job was to make sure those B-24 Liberators were properly armed?
What we do there to get them ready, get all the ammunition. Every machine gun had their own box with ammunition. So we had to get all that ready, put the kind of bomb that they're going to take for some mission. Some bombs have different TNT on it. You know, depends. One of my friends, he was a gunner. And one time, I saw him, Carol Marie, what's his name, from North Carolina. They named him Martinez, you know, like Martinez. Martinez, you want to go up sometime? Yeah, I said, I want to go up. Okay, you go with me today to school. So I went up there and I said, another guy says, you like to fly? I think you feed on the tail gunner. That was a dangerous place to be on the plane.
So they thought because of your size you would be good for that?
Oh, yeah. But they go on a mission and they make it home, but most of the wounded guys were the gunners that were wounded more than the other guys.
But that didn't stop Martin Martinez from volunteering to fill in as a gunner on those B-24s, and we're going to hear what those experiences were like when we come back. Head over to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page for photos of Mr. Martinez then and now. And we'll be right back after this.